So we conclude our Hidden Figure series this morning. So the idea, if you've not been here for the whole series, the idea is that we spend some time looking at people who are maybe hidden behind the main narrative of what we read in Scripture. So people that you may not have heard of, that certainly is my goal, to bring someone to your attention that you may not have heard of, and to see what we can learn from their lives. Because all of Scripture is there for encouraging, for strengthening, for edifying. And the other side of this is really when there is a hidden figure, sometimes we can look at people in the Bible and think, wow, they're amazing. And then there's just this person who is kind of hidden in the background, and we relate to that person a little bit more because that's the way we think, or maybe we feel like we're a little bit more hidden. And so it's good to point out these hidden people so that we can relate, we can feel like maybe God has a plan for me. Maybe God has stuff for me to do, because He does have things for you to do. For every single person in this room, God has stuff for you to do. So we're going to look at a character in the Bible called Phineas. His name is Phineas. Let me give you a little brief. I got rid of it just so you didn't read while I was talking. I'll give you a little brief background to Phineas. So Phineas was a priest. He was the grandson of Aaron, the priest that we know of, who was Moses' brother, remember when God told Moses to deliver the children of Israel, and Moses is like, I can't speak. And God says, okay, you can take your brother Aaron with you. This is Aaron's grandson. And so God had a very specific way of Testament times. The people who were of the tribe of Levi, so the Levites, their specific responsibility was to look after the things in the temple, to look after the things of God. So they would manage the things in the temple, they'd make sure everything was clean, they'd make sure the sacrifices happened when they should happen, they would be able to explain the law to people. They had a very specific role in the temple. And so Phineas, because he was of that line, he would have been a priest. Okay? So that's the story, and that's where we jump into this story. The other thing I need to tell you is it's quite a violent story. All right, so I'm just giving you fair warning before we jump into the story. It's quite violent. It's perfect for a Sunday morning. So in this passage, it's Psalm 106, verses 28 to 31. We find a reference to Phineas. There's more than just this. If we had just this, we'd be in trouble because there's not much there. But it says this, they, and it's talking about the children of Israel, they yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phineas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed. And that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. So this passage in Psalm is alluding to the incident that we're going to look at, where a plague, the children of Israel disobeyed God. They went against what God had said and the way that God said they should do things. They went against all of that, and they were getting into some really dodgy areas. And because they had disobeyed God and rejected the things He said, a plague broke out among them. And in fact, the Bible says that 24,000 people died in this plague. So this it was quite serious. Okay, that's quite a serious plague. And then the Bible says Phineas stood up and intervened. We'll find out how in a moment. Intervened, and the plague was stopped. And because he did that, it was counted to him as righteousness for generation after generation. So because of what Phineas did, and in fact in Scripture, this one act, this one thing that he does, changes the course of his life and actually generates a response from God. Because of what Phineas does, God speaks to Moses about Phineas. Okay, and even before we start looking at Phineas and the passage, let me just say this. The thing that God said about Phineas to Moses is he says, he was as jealous for my honor as I am. That's what motivated this act that he did. He was as jealous for my honor as I am. And if you take nothing else away from this time this morning, I want you to think about how can you be as jealous about the honor of God as God is. See, that's what motivated Phineas to do the thing that he did. He really wanted God's name to be honored. He really wanted God to be lifted up. He wanted God to be respected and God to be followed and God to be served. And what was happening was none of those things. And so he thought, this is not good enough. And he got up and he did something about it. Let's have that passion in us. I feel like I'm closing. Let's have that passion in us that says we will be passionate and zealous for the honor of your name. Jesus, we will be passionate and zealous for the honor of your name. So the passage that we're going to look at is Numbers 25. Numbers 25, you can turn there if you like, because when I read it, you'll be like, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. It is actually in the Bible, Numbers 25. Okay. This is not the worst passage of Scripture, if there could be a worse passage of Scripture. This is not, but it is harsh. Well, Numbers 25, while Israel lived in the acacia wood, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their God, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Let me stop there, and I'm going to stop a few times. They were invited to the sacrifices. So what happened with the children of Israel is the nations around them, particularly the Midianites at this point, and the Moabites, they had started to infiltrate the children of Israel. The ladies had started to seduce the men, and then they started to invite them to their sacrifices, and they were offering sacrifices to all sorts of weird things, and all sorts of mad stuff started to happen. Before we move on, let me say this. Just because you're invited to go somewhere doesn't mean you have to. Yeah, don't just accept every invitation you get. You may think, oh, I'm not being polite if I don't go, or I'm not being polite if I don't follow this up. But actually, it would have done these people good if they'd not followed this invitation. True. But they followed the invitation. Verse 3, so Israel yoked himself to the Baal of Peor. So that basically means that Israel started connected to this false god that they were worshipping and started to do the things that those people were doing. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Chiefs of the people. For those of you who aspire to leadership and want to be leaders, let me tell you, it carries responsibility. So the chiefs here are being punished. Yeah. So just bear that in mind. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each one of you kill his men who has yoked himself to the Baal of Peor. Behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family. In the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel, while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose, left the congregation, took a spear and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Thus the plague on the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. 24,000. It's a brutal story, isn't it? You can imagine it as a scene in a film where things are all going wrong and one man stands up and kills two people and the plague stops and the music plays and the sun rises and the credits roll. You can imagine that happening. But I want us to examine what motivated Phinehas, what motivated him and how he responded in this way, and maybe some things that we can learn. So, does anyone recognize this picture, this guy? Nelson. Lord Nelson, how dare you just say Nelson. Lord Nelson is this gentleman on the screen behind us. Lord Nelson. So, Lord Nelson was a commander of the fleet, and of the English fleet back in the day. And there's a very famous battle that is told about Lord Nelson. So he was besieging Copenhagen. This is in 1801, so I don't remember it. But he was besieging Copenhagen, and he decided that his squadron should attack. So he could see that they were in a good position. He decided, says, give the order to attack. And Nelson is a little bit taken aback. What do you mean? I'm saying give the order to attack. And the lieutenant says, well, we can't because the flagship, which is the ship that is sending orders to everyone, has put up the flags that says we're not to attack, we are to retreat. And those are our orders. So we can't go against the orders. And Nelson does this amazing thing. He holds the telescope, takes the telescope from the lieutenant, and he holds it up to his left eye, and he says, I can't see any signals. Attack. And the reason he did that was because everyone knew that he was blind in his left eye. So he holds a telescope to his blind eye and he says, I can't see anything, let's attack. So they attacked and they won. And it was one of the triumphs of his career. And when we use the phrase to turn a blind eye to, they reckon this is the origin of that phrase, to deliberately overlook something that you should probably respond to. To deliberately overlook something. The thing I like about Phineas is he kept his eyes open. He kept his eyes open. The passage says in verse 6, Behold, one of the people of Israel came, brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses, in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel. So let me just pull this together so you know what's happening, and then we can pull some points out. So Israelites getting involved with the Midianite women, and they weren't supposed to do that. Because of all of this happening, a plague breaks out, people are dying everywhere, and so the people of Israel who were concerned about what's happening, obviously not everyone was concerned, but the people of Israel who were concerned about what was happening, they gather at the tent. In our terms, they all come to the church, to the place where they come to worship. They gather at the tent, and they're crying out, they're weeping, they're crying out to God. In the middle of all of this, one of the leaders, so this is a chief, in fact, it's a chief's son, one of the leaders walks past all of these people who are crying out to God with a Midianite woman. He walks past all of them, so they all see this, and he takes her into his tent. And let's not explore what happens in the tent, but I'm sure you can understand what's happening in the tent. Takes her into his tent in the sight of everyone. Everyone sees this. But Phineas responds. And here's the thing I want to say to us. We need to be people, and I say this as much to myself as I'm saying it to you. We need to be people who don't just see stuff, but are willing to do something about it. We don't just see things, but we're willing to do something about it. There may be times where God shows us stuff that he wants us to do something about it. Being at a youth camp, I've done many youth camps in my life. I remember being at a youth camp with a friend of mine called Phil Ken. He was speaking, he was doing the speaking, and I was leading worship. There was just two of us. It was great. We were talking about spiritual gifts one evening. I was just having a chat with him. I learned a lot from Phil, actually. We're talking about spiritual gifts. And I had quite an important question for him. Because my question was, how do you know when God is showing you something? How do you know that God is highlighting something for you to see? And that you need to do something about it. What is there a bell that goes off in your head? Or do you have a little tingle in your fingers or in your tummy? Or can you hear like a booming voice of God's? How do you know when God is telling you need to do something? And he kind of smiled at me and said, why are you, this is a strange question, why are you asking me this? And I said, well, and I explained what was happening. So every night at the youth event that we were doing, youth camp, so they have youth meetings every night, there was a group of kids who would come, young people who would come. And there was one girl who was coming with her friends, and she just stood out. So when it was leading worship in the worship time, she'd really engage with God. And when Phil was preaching, she would listen, and she would really listen to the things that he was saying. And the friends around her didn't seem like they were that bothered about what was happening. And I could see this, and I felt like God wanted me to say, you're going to have to make a decision between whether you follow God or whether you follow what your friends are doing, and God wants you to follow him. But I didn't want to stand up and say, you know, the Lord says, I wasn't sure. So this is why I was asking Phil. I said, I can see it happening, I can see it in front of me, but I'm not convinced it's God because it's so obvious. I mean, surely when God shows you something, it's like a tear in the space-time continuum, and you can see through, and you can see stuff that you don't normally see. It can't be stuff that's blatantly obvious. And he laughed at me. Phil spends a lot of time laughing at me, actually. He laughed. I could tell you loads of stories, but we'll save them for another day. He laughed at me, and he said, listen, and I've never forgotten this sentence. He said, listen, just because something is obvious to you does not mean it's obvious to anyone else. Just because something is obvious to you, it doesn't mean it's obvious to everyone else. He said, I've been preaching every night, and I have not seen any of the things that you've said. Not seen it at all. So I thought, wow, okay. So the next night, I did it, but I kind of chickened out. I said, that probably is a good way to do it, actually. I said, I believe that there's someone here you've been coming every night, and you know you really love God, and you want to engage with God, and, but you know that your friends are going to pull you back, and God's saying he wants you to stick with him, and maybe you need to make a decision about who you follow. And if that's you, I'd like you to come and see me after. I'd love to pray for you. And then we carried on the meeting and carried on leading worship. Phil preached. And at the end of the meeting, everyone left, and this girl stayed. And she came to see me. She said, I think it's me. I'm like, yes, it is you. So we had a chat. But I learned something that day, that sometimes God will show you something, and in the way that he shows it to you, it just seems like a normal thing. It just seems so obvious to you. You may think, this is just so obvious. But because it's obvious to you does not mean it's obvious to everyone else. And Phinehas was he was at the front of the tent with all the children of Israel who were weeping and crying, and he saw that. And he could have said, can anyone else see this abomination that's happening? Can anyone else see this? Because I can. But he didn't just stay where he was. He didn't just stay where he was at the front of the tent. He got up and he did something about it. Let's not be people who turn a blind eye to the things that God shows us. Please, let's be people who don't turn a blind eye. We can do it to ourselves. You know, God, in a sermon like this, or maybe even in a worship time, we heard about how a song in a worship time can really have an impact on someone's life. God may show us things while we're singing or listening to someone speaking about us, and we know that we need to do something. And we can easily turn a blind eye to ourselves and the things that we know we need to deal with. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. The second thing that Phinehas did was he moved. The Bible said he responded. He didn't just see, but he responded. So seeing is great, and God showing us something that we need to do is great, but we have to respond. The things I have to work against. And I'm saying work against because we cannot say, this is the way I am, and use it as an excuse. Regardless of the way you are or what your personality type is, you cannot use that as an excuse to not do what God is asking you to do. You can't. Okay? So I know my personality type, and I know that one of the things I have to work against is something called procrastination. Yeah? Putting stuff off. Yeah, sure. I know I have to work against that. And when I say I have to work at it, I have to work at it every day. Every day I have to work at not procrastinating. And procrastination is something that Phinehas could have done. He could have thought, you know what, we're in an important moment here. We are crying out for the nation of Israel. We are speaking, we are weeping, we are crying, we're calling out to God. I'm going to do this, I'm going to deal with this later. Yeah. But actually, he didn't procrastinate. The Bible says he jumped up. Phinehas saw this guy take this woman to his tent, and he jumped up. Someone once said this, hard work is often the easy work you don't do at the proper time. And I have found that to be true on many occasions. Hard work is often the easy work you don't do at the proper time. Phinehas did not wait for someone else to do it. And that is an important point. I'll come back to that one later. The third thing he did was he left the assembly. The Bible says he got up, and he left everyone else. Everyone else was praying. Everyone else was weeping. They were upset about the things that were happening. They were crying out to God. Phinehas moved away from his comfort zone. Remember, he was a priest. He would have been used to ministering to people in a situation like this. People would have been coming to him for wisdom, coming to him for advice, coming to him for him to help them to cry out to God. This was his sphere of influence, if you like. This was his title. This is what he should have been doing. But actually, he saw something else that needed doing, and something else maybe that had more priority than his title said. And so he moved away from his comfort zone. Also, he moved away from other people who were inactive. And I say inactive gently because they were crying out to God, but at this moment, something actually needed to be done. And this is another thing that we can... This is dangerous territory, but this is another thing that we can do. We can sometimes use prayer as procrastination. We can sometimes do that. And it is good to pray. Please don't stop praying. It's God, and we need to get up and go and do something. So Phinehas left his comfort zone, he left the assembly, and he went after these two people. It would have been in Phinehas' rights to say, and to have this thought process that said, I'm a priest, this is not my job. This is not what I don't deal with these issues. I deal with when people come to the temple, when they come to bring sacrifices, or if they have a question about the law, or they found some mildew in their house. Because these are all things that the priests would deal with. Read the book of Leviticus; it is fascinating. These are things that priests had to deal with. But this is a serious issue. This is not my job. This is not my role. He might have gone through the thought process and said all of these things. But he walked away from his own definition because he knew that God was unhappy. He walked away from his own definition. He didn't allow himself to be defined by the title that he had. He could have said, priest is who I am, and this is what I do. I'm not doing that because that's not what I do. But actually, he understood God's heart, and this is how God responds later. He understood God's heart enough to know, I need to do something about this because this is dishonoring to God. So he saw what happened, he moved, he was willing to leave his comfort zone, he equipped himself. The Bible says, very simply, on his way to where he was going, he grabbed a spear. He thought, I'm going to need this. So he grabbed a spear. And quite simply, it's important for us to think about the things that God wants us to do and to equip ourselves. Equip yourself. Read a book. Read God's word. Listen to something that inspires you and challenges you along the way that you feel God has called you to go. Equip yourself. Get some training. Get some help. Don't just sit around and wait for the opportunity to come to you. Equip yourself. He grabbed a spear on his way to do the thing that he felt he needed to do. Next one. There's only one more, so don't think there's going to be a big list. Well, it is a big list, isn't it? Six things. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. I imagine if I was in this situation, I would be thinking about a lot of different angles. So don't overthink it. So Phineas has kind of decided what he's going to do. These two people, particularly the chief of the son of the chief of the tribe of Israel, was clearly doing something that was against God's heart. And he knew that he was going to end whatever was happening. So he decided what he was going to do. But he could have thought about all the reasons that he shouldn't do what he was about to do. And he could have come up with lots of good reasons why he shouldn't do what he was about to do. He was about to kill two people. And he could have come up with lots of good reasons why he shouldn't do this. He's a priest, and priests don't get involved in war times. Don't get involved in those things, so I shouldn't do it. What if the people that I kill, what if their family come after me for revenge? Because one of them is the son of a chief of a tribe of Israel, and the daughter is the daughter of a chief of the tribe of Midian. So they're both quite high up people. So what if their parents or the people around them decide, you've done this, we're going to come and get you? What if revenge was going to take place? What if because of what he did, he was not going to be allowed to be a priest anymore because he shouldn't have stepped out that way? What if that was going to be an issue for him? The thing about Phineas is he rose against all of these questions that could have paralyzed him. He rose against all the questions because his passion for the honor of God was greater than any other question that he had at the time, and greater than anything else that could have prevented him from acting. His passion for the honor of God was the greatest thing at that point in his heart, and that's what motivated him. That is what motivated him. And so he wasn't intimidated. He didn't overthink it. He just went for it. Now, there's something to be said about not overthinking it. And some of us are overthinkers. If I asked you to put your hands up, if you're faced with a situation and you have to think about every single angle before you made a decision, I would probably put my hand up for that one because that's the kind of person I am sometimes. And then on the other side of the scale, we'll have people who don't overthink at all, and they're proud of the fact that they don't overthink at all. They just really quickly thinking about stuff and not just go, 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 go. So you've got a good example, good biblical example would be Peter. Peter was just, whatever happens, let's just, what? This guy's taking Jesus away? Sword, lob the guy's ears off. Peter just reacted. He just reacted. And it would have done him good to think a little bit sometimes before. So overthinkers, we need to not overthink so much, particularly when God is asking us to do something. And people who don't overthink, we need to think, Should I do this? Yeah, maybe give a little bit of thought. I'm not saying balance because I don't like the idea of balance. Balance sounds like you might fall one way or another. I think about tension. So you live in the tension of both extremes. Yeah, we live in the tension of both extremes. Because overthinkers, sometimes we need to respond quickly without overthinking too much. And underthinkers, we need to sometimes think about it a little bit harder. But this act that Phineas did, this thing that Phineas did, he didn't overthink it, he responded to God. My final point is a bit of a stretch, but I want to make it. Be wholehearted. Be wholehearted in what you do. Be wholehearted in what you do. He knew he was going to kill these people. And let me just also say, I'm not condoning, nor does the Lord condone the killing of people who are in the act of adultery. Okay, that's not what we're saying. Or people who are disobeying God, we're not saying that those people should be killed. We would all be dead, because at some point we've all sinned against God, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But this is in Old Testament times, and these people really should have known better, and this is the way that things were dealt with at that point. Phineas killed two people with one spear in one go. That takes a bit of effort. I'm just saying. That's not like, I'm just going to poke you. That takes a bit of effort. And I want to encourage us, if we're going to do the things that we feel God has called us to do, let's do it with everything that we have. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Giving everything that we have to the things of God. I would love, at some point in my life, or maybe even after the end of my life, for God to say the same thing about me that he said about Phineas. For God to say, Nick, he was passionate about the honor of my name, just like I am passionate about the honor of my name. Or for God to say that about each of us in this room. They were passionate about the honor of my name, just like I am passionate about the honor of my name. That would be a great thing for God to say about us. But for us to be able to do that, and be able to be in a position to have God say that about us, we need to know God, and we need to know the things that he's passionate about. Otherwise, there's no way that we can be passionate about the things of God if we don't know what God is passionate about. And the way that we know what God is passionate about is we have to get to know him. The way that I can tell you what my wife likes, and if I was to buy her a present, the kinds of things that she would like, is because I know what she likes. She knows what I like. Because I understand her, she understands me. And that's how we connect with God and know the things that God would be passionate about, is we need to know him. He calls us to a relationship with him, not to follow his rules, not to allow us to put him in a box so we only do the things that we think relate to God. He wants to have a relationship with him so that we grow in our understanding, we grow in our knowledge of who he is, so that we can become the people he's called us to be. If we're going to be people of action, if we're going to be people who have that significant act, remember this one thing changed Phineas's life. We need to be people who keep our eyes open. Don't turn a blind eye. Be willing to move when you see what God has called you to see, what God has called you to do. Be willing to leave your comfort zone. Be willing to equip yourself. Be willing to not overthink, but to respond to the thing God has called us to do, and to be wholehearted. Someone said this, Phineas is a permanent example of the believing faith that leads to righteous actions, to courageous deeds, and to taking a stand when all is crumbling. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that you help us. What an interesting passage of Scripture, Lord. And I ask that you help us to see the lessons that we can learn from the things that you are saying to us this morning. And so for each of us, whether we've been people who maybe have turned a blind eye to stuff for far too long now, I pray that you help us not just to see the things you want us to see, but to act, to respond to the things that you're showing to us. Help us not to overthink when you're showing us something and we spend so much time asking, is this you, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? Am I just making this up, Lord? Help us to be people who respond to the things that you show us. And like Phineas, that we will be people who are passionate about the things that you are passionate about, the things that drive your heart, the things that move you, that they will be the things that move us. Lord, we want to see the people in Warrington come to know you as Lord and Savior. We want to bring the life of Jesus to the people of Warrington. And so I pray that you will help us to understand who you are more and more, that we will grow in our relationship with you so that we will be passionate about the things that you're passionate about. Help us, Lord, to respond when you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.